Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. There is no defeat in this material world for the person who control the mind and senses by controlling the breathing process and who are therefore experienced mature mystics. This is because by such perfection in yoga they have attained your mercy. Purport. The purpose of yogic performances is explained here. It is said that an experienced mystic attains full control of the senses and the mind by controlling the breathing process. Therefore, controlling the breathing process is not the ultimate aim of yoga. The real purpose of the yogic performances is to control the mind and the senses. Anyone who has such control is to be understood to be an experienced mature mystic yogi. It is indicated herein that a yogi who has control over the mind and senses has the actual benediction of the Lord and he has no fear. In other words, one cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Supreme Lord until one is able to control the mind and the senses. This is actually possible when one fully engages in Krishna consciousness. A person whose senses and mind are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord has no possibility of engaging in the material activities. The devotees of the Lord are not defeated anywhere in the universe. It is stated, Narayana Para Sarve. One who is Narayana Para, or a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is not afraid anywhere, whether he is sent to hell or promoted to heaven. Srimad Bhagavatam, quoting this, I mean reference from 6.17.28. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhube Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So seeking the blessings of all of you here so I could speak something for my own purification, and while doing so, if anything comes out which is good, please accept it. Anything which may not be favorable, please reject it. Thank you for considering my request. Hare Krishna. So today we are reading from this beautiful part of Srimad Bhagavatam from the 15th chapter of the 3rd canto, which is entitled Descriptions of the Kingdom of God. So the setting of the stage for this particular section of Bhagavatam is that the four Kumaras have traveled through various places and then they came to Vaikuntha. And it is explained that in Vaikuntha, as they were entering, there were 7 different gates of entrance all the way leading to the last gate where Lord Vishnu was there residing in that gate. And it is explained very beautifully in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam that each gate was much more beautiful than the other one as they were approaching. So we can see that as Kumaras were appreciating and entering the Vaikuntha, there was already a sense which was invoking in their heart about the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of the Vaikuntha planet, as they were really appreciating and going on nicely until they got to the 7th gate where they were stopped by Jay and Vijay. And this particular section is describing the beautiful aspects of Vaikuntha Dham. The word Vaikuntha means place without anxiety. That's what Vaikuntha means. And in this particular section, we see, or this particular verse, what has been explained, I'll read the translation one more time. There is no defeat in this material world for the person who control the mind and the senses by controlling the breathing process and who are therefore experienced. mature mystics, this is because by such performance, perfection in yoga, they have attained your mercy. So in this particular section, if we look at what has been explained is the mature stage of the yoga along with the sense control plus the most important ingredient, which is the divine mercy of the Lord. So these three things coming together makes it undefeatable consciousness. So let's try and remember. First thing is mature yoga. Can you all say mature yoga? Second thing is sense control. And the third thing is the divine mercy. All these three come together makes it what? Undefeatable consciousness. Say it. Which is Krishna consciousness. So these three things is a combination which will result in us being in a perfect state of Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada, as genius he is, very nicely explains in the purport that actually the process of breathing, or what is in other words called pranayamas or various exercise for breathing control, is the process through which one can start to control the mind and sense. But that's not the be-in and end-all of the whole yoga process. In fact, on the other hand, Prabhupada very nicely explains that when one comes to Krishna consciousness and he's steady and completely convinced and situated in that process, then he's already attained that stage of controlling the mind and senses. When I was reading or studying Bhakti Shastri at Bhaktivedanta Manor, this is back in 2009, I think, yeah, 2009. And at the time, my teacher was His Grace Jivadaya Prabhu. Anyone who's heard of Jivadaya Prabhu? Yeah. So, and then Gauri Prabhu was taking Nectar of Instruction, I think, for us. Yeah, and Nectar of Instruction. Or was it Nectar of Devotion? I can't remember. And so I learned from the teachers, which was very interesting in the beginning stages of my Krishna consciousness. I'm still a beginner, by the way. Nothing has changed much. Still trying to be at the lowest ranks of the steps, trying to progress in Krishna consciousness. So there it was mentioned to me, and I never looked at Nectar of Instruction like that. That if you see the way the verses of the Nectar of Instructions are set up, starting from Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam, all the way to the glories of the Radhakund and how Radhakund is the supreme abode of Srimati Radharani, it's a chronological order of a progression of a bhakta or a devotee in Krishna consciousness. Everything begins by Vacha Vegam, Manasa Krodha Vegam. Everything begins by controlling the tongue. And it's a formula set out by Rupa Goswami, very clearly explained that in order to get to the highest stage or the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, we got to start at the basic level. That's why the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's movement and what Srila Prabhupada gave us is so clear, that sometimes we go to Vrindavan, we go to Radhakund, we go to these beautiful exalted places, and we see people who are dancing in ecstasy and the tears are, you know, coming down their cheeks, and we hear that, you know, they may be experiencing the highest bhav. I mean, it's nice and all glories to such Vaishnavas who have attained that perfect stage. But for us, the perfect stage or the perfection will come in Vaidhi Bhakti. When we become methodical in our Krishna consciousness, when we try to count what we are doing, pretty much everything, including the number of rounds we chant, including the number of pages we read of Srila Prabhupada books, including the services we performed at Bhaktivedanta Manor, all of this is designed in such a way that one will actually, if we rigidly follow this process, there is no doubt that we will reach the highest perfection. And Rupa Goswami is showing this in Nectar of Instruction through that order of the verses, from controlling the senses to eventually being in a place which is as worshipable as Radhakund, or at least appreciating that place. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks very nicely that when he was there in Vrindavan, you know, he used to come to Govardhan and he would say, we just stay a little further from Radhakund and we keep Radhakund on our head and we live and we stay in Govardhan. So that is the right mood, because Radhakund is such a place, such an exalted place, that we go there, we worship Srimati Radharani, we perform the aarti of Radhakund. This just gone October, we were there, well, February, sorry, yeah, last month we were there in Vrindavan, and there were like around 140 devotees together in Radhakund, and we, one side, we sat down on the bank of the Radhakund, and all we did, we opened Nectar of Instruction and chanted all the verses of Nectar of Instruction. Then we chanted the Brahma Samhita, and then Mohan Panda, a very famous Panda who's normally comes over, and then we did the puja of Radhakund and did. And that's the way you approach, and you took a little jar, put it in your mouth and in your head, and you worship Radha Kund and you move on. So it just goes to show that the process is so beautiful, but we got to stick with this whole combination of the mature yoga, sense control, and depending on the mercy of the Lord, and that will bring us to the Krishna consciousness process. That's really what the essence of this verse is. And in this particular verse, another beautiful verse is quoted from 6th canto, 17th chapter, verse number 28, which is Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bhibhyati swarga apavarga narkeshu apitulyartha darshana, which means that devotees of the Narayana are not afraid of anything, for they see heaven, liberation, hell as the same. And this was exemplified in the beautiful story or the character of Srila Haridas Thakur. You know, he was born in a so-called Mohammedan family, but he was so exalted because he had taken the shelter of the holy name so with such vigor and such faith that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come to see him every day. Mahaprabhu would go to Jagannath Puri, take darshan, and every day Mahaprabhu would come to see Haridas Thakur and he'll bring him some prasadam. So that's the exalted position Haridas Thakur had done, and he was completely fearless. So much so that he was beaten in 21 marketplaces, and yet he was completely undeterred from his determination to chant the holy name. The people who were beating him up were trying to ask him to stop chanting, but he just couldn't give up chanting the holy name. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing how amazing Haridas Thakur or his character was, he said, "Some people preach and some people behave nicely, but you're a combination of both these things. You're teaching everybody with a great example, actually." That's the personality Haridas Thakur was. So here, if we look at these three sections, now talking about the mind control, because it's been mentioned that one should try to control the mind, there is a beautiful verse in the 6th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, verse number 26, which is Yato Yato Nischarti Manas Chanchalam Astiram Tatas Tato Niyamayat Atmani Eva Masham Nayat. In that, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna and he's saying that whenever the mind wanders due to its flickering nature, one must bring it back under the control of the self. So it's quite amazing. We have a process where we can go down the path of breathing, you know, follow the pranayamas, then niyamas, yamas, all those things, and we can try to attain the perfection. Definitely that's possible. But in the age where we live in, where it is said, manda sumanda matayo, manda bhagya hi uparita, that in this age we are short-lived, our memory is so weak that we can't even remember what we had 2 days ago, what to speak of what we read in Bhagavatam 2 days ago. So the point is, in this age, the easiest thing is to actually take the shelter of the holy name. And while taking the shelter of the holy name, Krishna is giving us some recommendation that the mind will start to flicker. But bringing the mind to Krishna means bringing the mind to Krishna's holy name, because Krishna and the holy name are non-different. So we don't have to worry what the yogis have to worry about, sitting in a particular posture and then controlling their breathing process and then trying to do various exercises. It's very difficult because the mind is very flickering. But Krishna said, you know what, just hear the transcendental vibration coming from my holy name, and through that process you'll be able to control the mind. What to speak of controlling the mind, we'll be able to engage the mind in a much more positive way. The word controlling doesn't necessarily means that controlling could just mean, okay, I've subdued the mind and now I'm going to just look at one thing and just keep the mind there. It's not so easy to do it. We were at the Govardhan Eco Village trying to do some yoga, which is recommended. We got to keep your body fit. So as we were doing the exercise, one of the asanas my teacher asked me to do is put my right leg onto my right thigh and stand erect with the hand like this. Oh Krishna, I struggled with that, you know, and it wasn't easy. Of course, over a period of time, as you practice, you can start to perfect those. But imagine versus doing this, of course, you can do it for the health for half an hour, but if you have an idea that someone has said, here is your bead bag, chant 16 rounds and try to hear the transcendental vibration coming from the holy name, what would you choose? What would you choose? Holy name. Prayojan Prabhu is the smart one. Everybody else, holy name? Yeah, holy name. We are all wise, students of Srila Prabhupada. Why would we not choose the process of controlling the mind through just trying to hear the transcendental vibration of the holy name. So in this, that's how we conquer the mind and the senses. And then here also there is an explanation given about the topmost yogi. And when we look at things from a dimension of the Shastra, so Bhagavad Gita gives another beautiful verse from 6th chapter, 47th verse, talking about who actually the yogi is. Yogi naam api sarvesham madgata antaratmana shaddhavan bhajate yo mam same yuktatmato mataha. So Krishna says, of all the yogis, he who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest. Here is another superiority verse given to explain or elevate the how beautiful the path of the bhakti or the devotion service is. Krishna is saying, the yogi is one who actually thinks of me. There's another verse which is coming to my mind. Let's see if somebody can also share that verse from Bhagavad Gita. Where Krishna... Sorry? Go ahead. Tell us the verse, Prabhu. Give him the mic, please. Thank you.
It's all right, yeah. For one who is... I've got it. It's 6:30, isn't it? For one who sees that everything is coming from me and everything is in me, I am never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me.
Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Hare Krishna. So, yes, there are so many verses Krishna is telling in Bhagavad Gita that you want to be a yogi, try to be a bhakti yogi or, you know, become a devotional yogi, become a bhakta, then you have achieved all the perfection. It is very important that, you know, we use things like yoga to stay fit and keep the using the, because breathing processes do help to a degree. But the main thing to understand that that's not the only way or that's not the end all. The best process is to become Krishna consciousness. And here we have a direct process given to us by Srila Prabhupada, which really defines that the word in this particular verse used is supakva, which means fully matured. It means fully blossom devotee. And here in this verse of Bhagavad Gita, it is explained that who's a fully blossom devotee? Of all the yogis, he who worships me with faith and devotion is the highest of all, actually. Krishna himself is giving who's the highest yogi, is the one who worships me with full heart and devotion. Another verse, which is very simple verse, sometimes Krishna consciousness is simple, but we may miss it. And Krishna says that how do you become the dearmost? How do you please him? Any suggestions? Another verse from the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita talks about a little leaf, little jal, little fruit. Yes, let's chant it together. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayashati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatat manaha. So Krishna is saying, just give me a little jal, little fruit, little leaf, but do it with devotion, do it with your heart, and I'll accept that offering. Which scripture in the world will give us the formula to attain pure devotional service by doing this? And this is the process of Archana Bhakti, the deity worship. That's what we do in the deity worship. We decorate the beautiful deities. So much of Tulsi is grown here at Bhaktivedanta Manor. We are so fortunate. You go to so many temples in the world. Either there is a lack of space or, you know, devotees struggle. But many ISKCON temples, by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, are taking care of Tulsi Maharani. But we here have two beautiful gardens of Tulsi Maharani. Such beautiful deity worship goes on at Bhaktivedanta Manor. When the darshan open, you look at Radha Gokulananda. Such, you know, I mean, if a new person, how many of you are just new in Krishna consciousness? Just please put your hand up. Just few months trying to practice. Okay. How many months have you been practicing, or year for that matter? 2-3 months. Can we give a mic to Mataji? I would like to hear from you. What was your experience when you came and you took darshan of Radha Gokulananda and Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman? How did it feel for you?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So when I took darshan of deities, it felt like coming home. It was really peaceful, and I was actually very anxious when I was traveling from the train, and to be honest, I did not believe that I would be able to come and take darshan, because I came from Coventry and I came with all devotee friends. And Krishna arranged everything. We were just planning to take two cars, but then more devotees came in and we traveled from three cars. We also were able to sing Kirtan over here, and there were a lot of obstacles, and I wasn't able to see the Goshala as well. But then Shri Krishna did his mercy, and I was able to come again and have darshan of the Goshala as well. And then I met a devotee, and they inspired me to take up the Veda course, so I joined the Veda course as well. But this truly seems like a dream, that I'm sitting here and enjoying the classes, because it was my deep desire, which I did not tell to anyone, and somehow he heard it and made it possible. So
wonderful. So this is the magic of Radha Gokulananda. When you look at the beautiful deities, you forget everything. You know, it's said, I think it's one of our Goswamis who said that when you start to decorate the beautiful deities, you forget to decorate yourself. Because when you decorate the deities, everything inside you will be decorated. Your heart will become purified. So this is the glorious process, and that's what the deities do. I was with a small group of people who are completely new to Krishna consciousness at Govardhan Eco Village. And I took these two people, guests of mine, and we went to darshan at Radha Vrindavan Bihari and Radha Madan Mohan temple there. So they had never seen deities before, you know, these people. When the darshan opened, they were just like that. And I was thinking, wow, if I had the same appreciation that these people have looking at the deities of what's happening here, you know, I would be progressing in Krishna consciousness so much. And then I was trying to explain them the deity, how the Lord is personal, and Madan Mohan and the first temple in Vrindavan. But they were just so moved with the process that, oh, God is a person and you worship the God and he has a flute. It's just otherworldly, you know, what Prabhupada has actually given us. It's amazing what Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita has given us. So that's how we come to the point of understanding, or to understand who's the topmost yogi. And then the third thing which we talked about today is the mercy of the Lord. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita, which I do not, I have not memorized it, but it's 18.58, which talks about how a devotee attains the mercy of the Lord, or the victory through mercy. Makchita sarva durgani mat prasadat tarishyasi atha cha tvam ahankaran na sarosyasi vinakshasi. This is from the translation. In this particular verse, it's explained that by mercy, you will cross all the obstacles, Krishna is saying. By my mercy, you will cross all the obstacles. So, similarly, another verse of Bhagavad Gita is Devi hi esha mama mai, mama maya durateya. What is the last two parts? Mam eva ye prapadyante. Mayam etam tarantite. Thank you, Prabhu. So that verse again talks about that how when we take the shelter of the spiritual potency of the Lord, then we can easily overcome this difficult world or the complexities which we experience. So the mercy plays the highest role in Krishna consciousness. And I was just contemplating when I was trying to prepare for this class that how a devotee like Hanuman is a great example of attracting that victory through the mercy of the Lord. And it is so beautiful that when Hanuman went over to see Sita, to find Sita, and finally when he wasn't caught, he decided to be caught because he wanted to see Ravana, to see how powerful Ravana is. And when he was brought to the kingdom of Ravana, everybody together decided that the best punishment for this monkey is to burn his tail, because the tail is the biggest ornament for a monkey, and they wanted to burn Hanuman's tail. So they decided to then put a lot of oil to Hanuman's tail, and they decided to lit the fire. And then it is explained that actually Hanuman can, you know, never be touched. When in his childhood, he went up and he took the sun and he put it in his mouth. So what fire can burn any tail of Hanuman who can actually take the sun and put it in his mouth? So it is explained that what really burned the entire Lanka was his devotion towards the Lord Ram actually helped him burn the entire Lanka. And when he did that and the whole Lanka was burning, all of a sudden Hanuman had a thing that, oh, I hope I don't burn Sita, because the whole Lanka is currently burning. So there were two places which did not burn. So can somebody tell me what were the two places? when the Lanka was burning? Ashok Vatika and Bibhishan's house. These were the two places which the fire could not touch. Because it is the same fire of the devotion which was there in the form of Mother Sita, which is none other than the Ladini Shakti of the Lord, personification of the devotional service. So how can that fire touch that Ashok Vatika where Sita was living? And the second place was Vibhishan house, who was none other than the pure devotee of Lord Ram. So I was thinking that what a beautiful story that, you know, when a devotee is... answer my question. It's a rapid fire answer question I'm going to ask you. Is Hanuman a topmost yogi? Yes, he knew every single yogic power he had because he could become smallest than the smallest and bigger than the biggest. But at the same time, he was the topmost devotee of the Lord. The main ornament of Hanuman was his devotion towards Lord Ram. Everything else was secondary for him. He had just acquired that in his childhood. But the main thing for Hanuman was his pure devotional service to the Lord. So when Hanuman came back and he was narrating the whole pastimes to Lord Ram was so much touched by his devotion and the act which Hanuman had performed. But, and you know, when you go to the king, when you give a good news to the king, like when King Dashrath heard that he had gotten a son, and then he heard he had four sons, he gave so much charity that you can't believe. So in a similar vein, Lord Ram was a Kshatriya, he was a king. So when Hanuman gave the good news and Ram wanted to give something to him, but at the time he had nothing. The only thing he had at the time was Sita, who he had lost actually. So he wanted to give something to Hanuman. And then he came up to Hanuman and said, I have nothing, but from today I give myself to you. Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. So what did he do? Lord Ram gave himself to Hanuman. He said, from today I'm all yours. So that's the beauty. I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in the Adi Leela. I think it's the third chapter, verse number 104, something like that. In that, there is a description in a similar verse. He says that the beauty of the devotional service is that a devotee can actually purchase the Lord. You know, the Lord really gets sold to a devotee because of the mood the devotee carries. So Hanuman had the same mood, the same devotion, by which he could conquer the heart of Ram, so much so that Lord Ram actually completely gave himself to, you know, him to Hanuman. So that's how one attains the mercy of the Lord. And other ways for us as a devotees of attaining the mercy of the Lord is by the process of following the four regulative principles, chanting the holy name, taking the association of the devotees, and like what we are currently doing, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, because it is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhaktir Bhavati, Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki, that by regular attendance to in the classes of Srimad Bhagavatam and being in the association of the devotees, everything which is troublesome to the heart, it completely eradicates, and pure devotional service to the heart takes place. And what is the effect when we do that? Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayas chaye cheta etir anavidyam stitam satve prasidati. What happens? By regularly hearing Bhagavatam, it is explained that, you know, one becomes fixed in devotional service, and on the effects of rajagun, tamogun, they start to go away. And then what happens? Sthitam sattve prasiddhati. One's mind and the senses are completely controlled in the process of devotional service. So this is how we try to become perfect yogis, by performing this beautiful path which our Goswamis have given, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. Mahaprabhu gave us 64 ways of practicing devotional service. And he said, out of the 64, if you can just do these five, and even if we have a little bit, stay in touch with these five, which are what? Chanting the holy name of the Lord, staying in a dham or a spiritual place like Bhaktivedanta Manor. Number three is reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Number four is doing the deity worship. And what is number five? We're missing the fifth one. So, sorry? I think, yeah. So let's do it again. Chanting the holy name, deity worship, staying in a spiritual place, listening to Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. Association of devotees is a separate one. That's right. Thank you so much. Those are the five most potent ways which Rupa Goswami has given us through which we can attain devotional service. And he said, even if we have a little bit of attachment or stay in touch with these five things, they can really take us back to the spiritual world. That's how powerful, these programs are. So with that, I just have a few minutes and then we can open up for any comments or reflections or questions the devotees may have. I wanted to conclude the class that by asking you a question. Do you think Srila Prabhupada is a great example of a perfect Aspaka devotee who was a perfect yogi, perfect devotee? Yes? So yes, because Prabhupada, he was a modern sage and a great example of Supakva yogi, because he attained what nobody else could attain, and his success came from the mercy by following the instructions of his spiritual master. We discussed in this session that when we follow the instructions of the spiritual master or make them as a life and soul, then we definitely attain success in spiritual life. It is quite amazing. We were in Jagannath Puri just last month, and we were remembering that there is a place called Chatak Parvat. Behind, if you go to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's place there is a beautiful deities of, I think they're called Gandharvika Giridhari, and behind that is a place called Chatak Parvat, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur chanted 2 million names before he started to preach and open the Gaudiya Maths across Bengal and other places in India. And it is quite amazing, that place for us is very remarkable, because Srila Prabhupada, when he met his spiritual master in, I don't quite know the year, in Ulta Danga Junction Road in Calcutta, he was very young at the time. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told him that, you're a young gentleman, why don't you go and preach in the Western countries? So Srila Prabhupada remembered that instruction. And after that, two more times Prabhupada was given the same instruction. The second time was on the bank of Radhakund, when Prabhupada told him that whenever you get money, print books. And he also again told him you should go into the Western country. And the third time was the time when Prabhupada wrote to Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in a letter saying that, I can see all my god brothers are so nicely serving you, but as a grihastha, I'm stuck with my responsibility of businesses and all these things. So how can I serve you, Prabhupada? And again, for the third time, in writing, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sent a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that you should go and preach and you will be able to serve me in the most pleasing way by doing this. And Prabhupada, in one of the lectures in America, quotes by saying that, this instruction I got in Ulta Danga Junction Road, but I just could not execute the instruction. But all the time I was thinking, how can I do, how can I do, how can I do, and how can I do? And finally he was able to execute that instruction. So that shows the mercy aspect which came from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he depended on the instructions of his spiritual master. And finally, he showed that one who receives Krishna's grace, he cannot be defeated. Prabhupada could not be defeated by so many challenges, 2 heart attacks on the Jaladuta. When he was preaching the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Western countries, he did not get much support from his godbrothers initially. And nobody was there to help him. But he was completely determined to execute that mission. So much so that he went through so much of difficulties, that eating food or keeping things in the fridge where there is a meat, staying in a place which is filthy and not very clean. He went through so much of a hardship to do what? So that we can take advantage of this process of Krishna consciousness. And finally, his mission is a proof that Bhakti Yoga is the highest yoga. The mission Srila Prabhupada had to expand the Sankirtan movement all over the world is a glorious mission. And by taking part in that mission, we can also follow in the same vein as the yogis do. But we have a much better, example in front of us, which is Srila Prabhupada. That's why this mission of going out on Harinam and distributing transcendental literature is the most glorious mission in this Kali Yuga, actually. Nothing can defeat us when we are out there distributing Prabhupada books and chanting the holy names on the streets of the London or anywhere for that matter. These two things are the best combination, and of course prasadam, giving out prasadam to the people. So finally, these are some takeaways if you wanted to just meditate on. Number one, real yoga is the maturity of Krishna consciousness, not just the flexibility of the body. So just try to remember that. Sense control is the natural result of the devotion. When we practice bhakti yoga, sense control naturally comes as part of it. And then breathing control supports the mind control, but mercy completes the entire journey. So, okay, breathing can help us to control the mind, but the mercy of the Lord and the pure devotees can really help us take us to the other side. Because just by controlling the mind, there is no guarantee we'll have a higher engagement and we'll be fully absorbed. Number four, the Lord's mercy is the real cause of the victory. When the Lord gives us the mercy, that is the main reason why we are successful, not because of our own efforts. We depend on the mercy of our teachers and the previous acharya. Number five, a devotee is never defeated. That's why he's called Na Kutaschit Prabhava, undefeatable anywhere. And finally, humility invites the grace and pride blocks it. A perfect bridge or the perfect way to perform devotional service is to actually take to the shelter of the Lord. And in that humility, one can chant the holy name and also feel that I'm servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So in conclusion, those were some key takeaways I wanted to share with you all from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So we have 5 minutes to see if anybody has any comments or reflections or questions they'd like to ask. Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you.
On the subject of keeping the body fit, Srila Prabhupada recommends a better way than yoga, which is the highest form of yoga, which is dancing in kirtan. And obviously that keeps you physically fit and obviously, you know, spiritually engaged as well. So if you have half an hour to spare, better to dance, I think, than, you know, to bodily stretching.
Completely endorse the idea, my Prabhu. So absolutely, if you have every day half an hour and you have a choice of the devotees you're going on Harinam versus doing the yoga, I would get out for doing the Harinam. Because one, you'll get a lot of fresh air, you're going to be outside. And second, you're going to also be influencing the hearts of many people who are out on the street actually. And giving them an opportunity to live a healthy and a devotional life by coming close to the transcendental vibration. So thank you for adding that.
That's a great explanation.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for your class. I was wondering if someone struggles with reading, what if they listen more to Bhagavatam instead of reading Bhagavatam? Is that okay?
Absolutely. So Prabhu, we as a human beings are custom made. Each one of us have a certain type of body, certain type of samskars, certain types of intuition, certain types of likings. And based on that, whatever works best for you. For me, I find it more absorbing when I read Prabhupada books. For some, it's more absorbing when they hear actually. So I would say, whatever works, Rupa Goswami says, somehow or other, we have to stay close to the transcendental vibration. So if you can hear, that's the best. And that's the process which is recommended in this Shravanam, because it starts from hearing as much as possible. But everyone is different. I like it when I'm able to sit in a place and just read Prabhupada books. Somehow or other, that resonates with me more. Of course, hearing lectures is important, but everyone is different. But both processes are completely bona fide, Prabhu. Absolutely, yeah. Both are helpful. Okay. Any other comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Is there, like, if one puts more weight on hearing versus reading, is that a problem? Because reading is also, what are the cons of not reading so much?
I think main thing is, Prabhu, to get absorption. And if the absorption is coming more from hearing, it's fine. Let it be. Then hearing, you can also hear these days, Prabhupada books are available as an audio tape. So, And that really brings about a real revolution in the heart. Like, I remember, for example, my spiritual master, every year he takes a 1 month retreat and he goes to Govardhan and he sits at the ISKCON Govardhan ashram for with few devotees in a small room, and they read 5 to 6 hours every day Srimad Bhagavatam. He reads out loud and everyone hears it, and they have a book or an iPad and they just follow through. And it, that process is so potent. I've done it for a few years, not the whole month, but few days. And it just really brings you to a different level of consciousness, because when Rupa Goswami says that one of the five ways is reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of the devotees, especially if you do it in the month of Kartik, for example, that's the best thing you can do, you know, to revitalize your spiritual organs and get yourself in completely immersed in Krishna consciousness. So I would say both are completely bona fide. Either way, Prabhu, whatever works according to your inclination, actually. And speaking about the reading, from the 4th of April, I think, for about 4 days, every evening, we will be reading Srimad Bhagavatam here in Bhakti Lounge. With His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu, he'll be here, and every evening we'll be reading Srimad Bhagavatam and doing some bhajan. So you're most welcome. The information will be out soon for that. Yeah, I think it's a very powerful thing to come together and read Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, I think it's 8:30. I do not want to be sitting here between you and the breakfast, Prashadam. Thank you very much for giving your heart and soul to Krishna consciousness and your attention to this class. Vanchakalpatarubhishya kripa sindhube vacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.